Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. We are live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show is coming up next from 9 to 11 today. But right now, without any further ado, the one and only Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers, The Leap. You can find him on social media at Peter_Bukowski. Peter, how is your cutdown day treating you, my friend?
Well, I'm sort of bracing for what is to come, because this is one of those days where things are flying fast and furious, and there's always going to be a couple surprises. I'm excited for that part of it, because that's you know, whether it's a player you go, whoa, I can't believe that person got cut, or whoa, I can't believe that person made the final 53. There's always a handful of those. And if we could predict them, they wouldn't be surprising, Andy.
No, that's very, very true. I asked Justice Mosqueda this last night for today's show, and I will ask you as well. If there is a Josh Sitton level surprise that it doesn't have to be a cut, I'll let you go in any direction. A Josh Sitton level surprise. If I told you for sure there's going to be a Josh Sitton level surprise, what would you say that would potentially be this year? It's really difficult to come up with, so I'm really putting you on the spot here, because it feels like a fairly straightforward kind of roster cutdown day, but what would maybe be surprising to you?
It does. Let me go like way off. The thing is he's hurt. So this is the problem. I would not be surprised if at some point we hear conversations about the Packers looking to trade Jaden Reed.
Okay. Do you want to know who brought something up similar last night? Justice Mosqueda.
Well, see, so maybe it wouldn't be that surprising then. Because this receiver room is crowded, right? And Justice was the one that had the piece in his APC column the other day about, or I think it was just yesterday, right? About teams inquiring inbound. I had heard some similar things about inbound in Green Bay. I think it was Diana Rossini reported that Aaron Rodgers was specifically like the worst kept secret all spring. Once Rodgers was a Steeler, was like, he's going to want Romeo Doubs, right? Like everyone and their mother were saying that was the thing that was going to happen. And then sure enough, that's what happened. So I think the draft told us a lot about where Green Bay values these players, right? Like, I think they like their guys. But it also would not be surprising to me if they thought, hey, there's an opportunity to get some value here. And remember, Jaden Reed and Dontayvion Wicks are each going to want to get paid next spring. And so if there's a decision that needs to be made there and Matthew Golden becomes the guy that we think he can be, maybe they try and get some value, get ahead of these sorts of decisions. And, you know, maybe Savion Williams is your future power slot in the Green Bay Packers organization.
I think we would be having a lot more discussions about wide receiver and potentially trades and things like that if all the injuries did not exist. It just clouds everything right now.
Yeah, they can barely exactly. Field 11 personnel.
Yeah, it's brutal right now. So I think there would be a lot more discussion on something like that. I think maybe more time towards like the trade deadline if everyone gets healthy. We did just have Rob Domofsky report, by the way, JJ Lippy and Johnny Lumpkin both being released. So I think we are up to 4 on our tracker as of right now. But yeah, that's the latest news. But yeah, I don't expect anything wild and crazy, but I do think wide receiver would be a lot more interesting had the injuries not been there. I want to talk to you, Peter, about new offensive linemen that the Packers acquire. Kennard is a very interesting player coming over from Philadelphia. What did you think of that move?
You know, he was someone who I had to go back to my notes because once he got to the NFL, he just hasn't played. And so he's not someone that I had to keep up with. I reposted the one thing I could remember about him and got in big trouble for doing that because of a sweatshirt he wore at the Senior Bowl. And that was the only thing I could remember about him. But I went back in my notes and we talked about it today on Locked On Packers. He's huge. That's the thing that is, I think, important to know about Darren Kennard. And I mentioned this today. If you go back, Andy, since 2022, Brian Gutekunst and Ted Thompson combined, they had never drafted a player in the top 100, an offensive lineman that was 320 plus. It had never happened. And in Brian Gutekunst's career, he had never brought in an offensive lineman 320 plus at any point until 2022. At any point, not in the draft, not in undrafted free agency. And then all of a sudden, it's like, hey, how about Caleb Jones? He's 6'9", 370. How about that? How about Kadeem Telford? He's you know, 6'7", 340. Anthony Belton and Anthony Banks in the same offseason, and now Darian Kennard. I think they're telling us that they want to follow the Sean McVay's and say, we're going to get into more of this dual run scheme. We're going to be a power running team. If teams are going to play too high against the Green Bay Packers, they are going to feel this Packers offense. They are going to come downhill and punch you in the mouth. And that's why I think they're going to live with the growing pains with Anthony Belton, because you watch him. And I said this during the Seahawks game. You hear the pads. When Anthony Belton climbs to the second level, you will feel him if you're a linebacker. And so that is, you know, if you're a football sicko like we are, that's the fun stuff, man. Like, that's the really cool, you know, that's the football you and I grew up on. That was the 90s football. That was the Edgar Bennett Green Bay Packers, the let's get William Henderson in the I formation and come downhill and run ISO power stuff. Like, would it be crazy to think that they could do that again? I don't think it is.
No, I don't think so either. And to your point, Jacob Monk and Jordan Morgan, now sort of the outliers. Jacob Monk, 6'3", 308. Right. Jordan Morgan, 6'5", 311. In the meantime, Aaron Banks, 6'5", 325. John Williams, 6'4", 322. Jennings, 6'4", 323. Belton's 336. Glover, there's no way Glover's 317. That dude's at least 320-something, if not 330-something. And then Darian Kennard, 322 as well. They're going for big uglies up front now. I love every second of it. And I think even Morgan's put on weight since his 311 draft weight as well. So they're going to be much bigger than they've been in the past.
I think he cut to 311 to run to like test well. I think he probably played closer to 320. You watch him at Arizona. He doesn't look any different than why am I blanking on the Jonah Sevenaia? Was that
his book? Sevenaia for Miami. Yep.
They look the same size, and I think Jonah Sevenaia was like 325. So like I don't think Jordan Morgan played at Arizona at 311.
I don't think so either. I think he's definitely in that 320 range as well. So yes, maybe only Jacob Monk actually is the outlier now and none of the rest. So yeah, they've definitely gone big offensive line hunting. There's no question about it. What, as you kind of look at today, as we're being joined by Peter Bukowski, you can find him on The Leap, of course, Locked On Packers. I do like the juxtaposition of you in the dark colors, me in the light colors, the light of Packaday podcast, the dark of Locked On Packers as we're on YouTube over here. It's a perfect juxtaposition, but definitely make sure to follow him over at Peter_Bukowski. And what are you kind of watching for as like bottom of the roster today that where these real decisions probably lie for Green Bay?
Yeah, it's the like for like bodies, right? Like special teams. This is something that, you know, I feel bad because this is Justice's corner, but it's okay. How many tight ends do you want to keep versus how many linebackers do you want to keep? How many safeties are you going to keep versus how many receivers do you want to keep? Because it's a special teams question. It's always a special teams question. And what are you getting on special teams? And I think it was Justice that pointed out, hey, they're actually using tight ends on special teams in ways that they hadn't in the past. The fact that Isaiah Simmons is the number one punt gunner for this team. Like, I think that is going to play. And that's why on Saturday, it was so vital for him to have some good reps out there. He played almost the whole game, Andy, Isaiah Simmons. I think they were giving him every opportunity to show, hey, look, if I need to play linebacker, I can play linebacker, which is, again, an interesting juxtaposition to the way he started, which was, wait, actually, he might start in three linebacker sets. I don't know if they're going to do that. I think they're actually going to go more to this new odd front stuff where they're going to play three true defensive linemen and two ends. Kind of a Joe Barry throwback where they're going to play like 3-4 nickel a lot of the time with two linebackers on the field. And so that brings me to the next one where I'm fascinated to see how many defensive tackles are they going to keep. They regularly had 5 active on game day last year. So does that mean you need 6? Does that mean Nazir Stackhouse and Warren Brinson can each make this team? I think that's the most likely scenario right now. I mean, I think Nazir Stackhouse has put too much good tape out there to not get picked up if you move on from him. And I don't know about you, Andy. I don't know how you felt about Brinson in the pre-draft. But watching him in Green Bay, he looks like a different guy as a pass rusher. I mean, just Georgia does not ask those guys to pin their ears back and go get them the way that you have to in the NFL. And I just thought there are some reps where Brinson is ragdolling offensive tackles, just a little push, pull and go. And on that Evan Williams interception to end joint practices, watch 91. He destroys the starting left tackle for the Seattle Seahawks. And it's interesting to note that was ones versus ones. Brinson was out there in the 2-minute.
Yeah,
in a drill that ended practice. And so I think that bodes well for him making this team. I'm really excited about this interior. I try and protect myself because, right, like we were really excited about the 2022 group and then we were really excited about the 2023 group and really excited. And correct. Then they've never quite hit the peak. Like, hey, Carl Brooks, what a rookie season. I bet he'll be even better in year 2. And it's like, actually, he was kind of the same or maybe even a tick worse. So I don't know what to make of all of that, but I do think 6 defensive tackles, like that's one of the, that's like, if you're going to pick a surprising thing today, I think that'd be kind of surprising, but I think that's what's going to happen.
It could. I was quoting Justice Mosqueda's roster tracker earlier, which is fun to look at the 15 people that he had on there.
This has
just
been Justice PR. We got to cut it out. We got to stop this.
Yeah, it is too much. It's a little too much Justice. You're totally right. 10 out of 15 people kept Stackhouse. I actually was not one of them. I've been back and forth. I argued with Justice a week ago. I'm like, they're going to keep Stackhouse. And then he kind of talked me into, I think, a little bit more. And I just think like the flashes are really impressive, and he's got the body type that you want. I think you like would love an extra guy like that on the roster. I didn't like the preseason tape quite as much. I think you get him back on the practice squad, but it's a really interesting discussion. And then of course you get to that.
Ben Sims, we have to remember that. Like those guys, the pre-draft priors mean a lot in all this. And I think frankly, going back to our earlier discussion, I think there's a good chance the Packers liked Darian Kennard in the pre-draft. And that's one of the reasons why they made this move, because it's not like there's NFL tape of him. They just had to have gone, we liked that guy in the pre-draft. By the way, I went back and checked on the consensus board. He was 66th, Darian Kennard, on the consensus board. Went 145th. But the perception of him in the media, at least, was that he was a top 100 type player. So the Packers might say, hey, look, you know, this is a Brian Gutekunst special. Like he will bet on draft pedigree. It's a Howie Roseman special. And so I think that you're right about, hey, look, Nazir Stackhouse, the NFL did not love him. Every team had seven chances at least to draft him, and no one did.
Yeah, and they didn't. And now you go out. If the Green Bay releases him, I don't think there's going to be huge appetite to be like, oh, we didn't want him in the draft. And then the team that did, spend some bonus money didn't even keep him on the 53, despite him kind of looking okay. Like we're probably good. You can just probably get back to Green Bay's practice squad.
Would you say he looked better in practice than in preseason?
Yes. Very much so. And again, I don't know how many teams are going out, either A, trusting idiots like me that are tweeting out like Nazir Stackhouse looks good in camp, or B, even doing the homework in the first place to be like, oh, there's a lot of buzz about Nazir Stackhouse from some of the beat guys, whatever. And I'm sure they're more looking at the preseason tape. And again, I do think he looked better. But there'd be times too, like he would be in like two straight run play, like run stuffs, like right up front. And then like the very next play, he's like 5 yards off the ball, just getting like playing with poor pad level and just not maintaining his spot at all.
That's why he's UDFA, right?
Is rookie stuff, right?
He didn't get drafted.
So I think that's, again, very interesting to see what happens there. And then the other one I just want to ask you about quick is corner. I think that's kind of been one of the other debated ones of, do they keep five? Do they keep six? And even if it is five or six, which one of those kind of four guys that are in that conversation do they keep? It's also just remarkable, by the way, that Bo Melton is just seemingly a roster lock after switching positions from wide receiver to corner. Just unbelievable stuff. But who do you kind of see making it in the back of that corner room?
Did you stand up in your chair a little bit when you heard Brian Gutekunst say that when they first got him, they thought about converting him to corner? Like that kind of blew my mind. They were like, yeah, when we brought him in, we thought, hey, if he doesn't stick a receiver, maybe we convert him to corner. He's got the corner movement skills. And if you look at like his profile, he's built really a lot like a corner. Like when you watch him move out there, he moves like a corner in a lot of ways. And so it's not really that surprising in some ways that he kind of just seamlessly transitioned. We forget sometimes these guys are the 1% of the 1% of top athletes in the world. And so they can just do this stuff. It's pretty crazy. My like very lukewarm take on this is I don't think the last corner on this team is currently on the roster. I just don't. I think there's five corners that they feel good about. Bo Melton is apparently one of them. And
who's your fifth?
What's the math here? So it's your three starters, Hobbs, Valentine, Nixon, Bo Melton. I guess that's only four, right?
Yes.
So then, like, I think they have to have five on the roster. I don't know that there's a fifth corner that they feel good about. Kalen King, I think, had some nice plays against Seattle, but he's been inconsistent. I know people were kind of excited about Kamal Haddon, like some of the plays he made in the fourth quarter, but I thought in the first half he was pretty bad. So I don't, and was terrible against the Colts. So I don't know, man. Like I think it's a waiver wire something. It's maybe make a phone call to Stephon Gilmore or something like that. Although he seems like he's got to be back to the Vikings, right? Who's playing corner for the Vikings right now, Andy? Is it going to be you?
Yeah, it might be me at this point. it's not a great look.
Limber up, buddy.
When I retired from football in sixth grade, my last position was starting corner. I want to let everyone know that was the position I was playing when I decided to retire early. I decided to play Madden instead, and it ultimately ended up being a good career decision for me. Yes, much, very much so. Yeah, I'm very interested to see what they do at corner. And that's kind of one of the interesting aspects of today as well, is not just what's happening in Green Bay, but what's obviously happening around the league. In Minnesota at corner is one of those interesting ones. And do they get Thielen? There's a lot of stuff going around the NFC North that's interesting today.
We just launched this new show, the Squad Show, and we have former Packers OC Jeff Jagosinski on it.
I saw that.
And he is so fun to listen to. It was really fun to be in a little group chat with Brandon Snide and him and I during the game, because he's calling out stuff. And he'll just send like little, oh, it's a 3-man front with 4-man spacing, and that's it. Like, he'll just like throw out these little nuggets that maybe you weren't paying that close attention to, but a coach with a coach's eye is seeing it. And he made a great point on our squad show. And that was, you're not just competing with the guys on the roster. You're competing with the 90 guys on every other team around the league, because the Packers could trade for a Darian Kennard, or they'll pick up someone on cut day. And so that like sort of pinged in my brain when I was trying to put together my projections for the cornerback room. I was like, I don't think their fifth and or sixth corners are currently on this roster. I think they have to come from somewhere else. I know like Damari Mathis has been one that's been out there. The Broncos waived him yesterday. We'll see if the Packers put in a claim there. We'll probably find out about that pretty soon, right? And so that's kind of where I landed on corner, because I don't think they have the depth there right now.
Yeah, that's a really, I thought corner, maybe number 4 tight end, number 9 offensive line, or number 10 offensive lineman, and maybe a punt returner. Tight end? I think three. I have 3 at tight end. The Ben Sims conversation is interesting. What's that?
You Fitzpatrick over Sims?
Yes. Yeah. 15 out of 15 of the people on Justice's projection had Fitzpatrick as the number 3 tight end, which is interesting. Only 7 had Sims making it as a 4th tight end.
I had Sims as the 3rd tight end, and changed it at the last minute. So, I don't feel strongly about it either way. I really don't. Like, I think that there's not a ton of difference there. I think that they could probably pick up a tight end off the street and make him work in this offense. I think part of it too is, if they're going to play more 12, don't they have to have someone that they think can play offense? Like, that was where the Sims part of it to me was, if they want to live more in this heavy world, don't they need to have a tight end that they think can actually play, not just be a special teams player? And that's why Sims was, that was sort of the tipper for me. But okay. I would you know, understand why they go in a different direction.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he's one of the ones that are true, like going into today, are like a true interesting, like 50-50, like it could go either way. And I would not be surprised one way or the other. Just some updates really quick. Isaiah Nair released, Cornelius Johnson released. These are all reports, of course, not actually from the team. There was a couple others as well. James Esther, Tyler Cooper, in that initial group of releases that have been reported as well.
I'd like to see Cornelius Johnson back on the practice squad if they could do it.
Same. I also did a 16-man practice squad projection, plus international pathway player, because I'm a junkie, Peter, and I can't help myself. So I did have Cornelius Johnson on the practice squad as well. All right, Peter, before we get you out of here, any final thoughts? Or obviously feel free to get your plugs in on the way out as well.
Well, I'm interested to see what happens at linebacker. Christian Welch was that sort of last guy. How many of those bodies are you going to keep if they keep 4 tight ends, which I've sort of come around on, like maybe they only keep 5 off-ball linebackers and it's 4 tight ends, or however they want to distribute it. Otherwise, we got the Leap, some really good content there lately. And then there's, you know, this opportunity for the Squad Show. Let me plug that again. Wednesday night, we will be live at 7:15 Central Time, 7:15 Lambeau Time. And we'll be after the game, after every week. That's my daughter. Everyone say hi to my daughter. We'll be there after the game for an extra hour all season long. So that'll be a fun time. Locked On Sports Today is first 15 minutes of SportsCenter, all the big stories of the day on Locked On Sports Today.
Love that. You guys are killing it over on Lockdown. I love the new idea with Jeff Jagodzinski on the live show. Definitely going to be checking that out a lot. And always appreciate you coming on. And of course, check him out over at The Leap as well. Jacob Westendorf in the chat says, I love when mom and dad come together to talk Packers. So happy that we could make you happy, Jacob Westendorf. That's what we're here for. Go follow him at Peter_Bukowski. Peter, we'll do this again soon, and enjoy your cutdown day, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Andy.
You bet. That is the one and only Peter Bukowski joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Make sure to again follow him at Peter_Bukowski. This is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. We'll be back with more right after this.